You are listening to the Slash and Cast Podcast Network. Enjoy the show.
Now the invite having Gray do the recording, I'm like useless right now.
Hey, we're family, okay? We are family. Like.
About the thing, Dream Girls. We are a family.
Me,
like a giant. Yes.
Oh,
who's Effie and who's Dina?
Oh,
it Effie. Won't be me.
Welcome to the show, everybody. This is Kill the Dead. We are today discussing The Hitcher. But first, I want to introduce myself. I'm Devin, and I want to introduce my internet co-hosts and friends. We have Ash. We have Grace. Hi. Say hello.
Hi. Hello. I'm just kidding.
How am I going to follow that up?
And
swing low.
We have a very special guest. It's weird to call you a guest. You're just part of the family now, Bobby. Say hello, Bobby.
Thank you. No, thank you. I feel like I'm family now. So, I mean, I'm technically a guest, but thank you.
Cousin!
Yeah, so, your cousin.
Oh, there you go.
I'll see you at the cookout.
In the corner.
Just don't put shrimp in potato salad, okay?
Oh, no.
That's a thing that people do?
I'll send you the video.
Apparently.
Unless I want to kill you all, then I'll put shrimp in the, you know.
Yeah.
Tail side.
That would take me out.
And raisins.
I'm allergic to shrimp, so that would take me out.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm highly allergic to other people's cooking, so.
I'm gonna use that, Gray. I'm gonna use
that. Feel free.
Oh gosh. All right. Well, Ash, you have some hard news for us?
I do. Okay. So my husband's new film started production. I'm just kidding. So filming is now underway for Blumhouse's new take on Stephen King's Firestarter. And the film is directed by Keith Thomas. And for the news, they have found their Charlie. Yay.
Was that Drew Barrymore in the first one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Wait.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I love that movie. Well, the original release.
Does this really have nothing to do with Zac Efron?
Oh, Zac Efron's in it. Okay. He playing deity.
You said your boyfriend. I was like.
No, I said my husband.
Oh,
correction.
She said no.
My husband, Zac Efron. I'm just kidding. But yes, they have found their Charlie. And let me see. What's her name? I am so sorry. Her, Ryan Kira Armstrong. She's from It Chapter 2 and American Horror Story. And she's playing the character of Charlie. And filming has started. Not sure on when the release date is. So that's cool that they finally found their main girl. Hopefully she can pull off the character. But I'm excited.
They couldn't get the girl from Annabelle.
Lulu Wilson?
Yes, thank you.
I love her. That's like a whole new generation of. Do they still say Scream Queen?
Yeah, I still use Scream Queen.
Yeah. I wasn't sure if that like term was like okay to say, or if they switched it up. I'm not sure.
I remember it was a thing pre 2020, right? And then we didn't care anymore.
Yeah, because
like, the world was ending.
It's like, who cares?
Right. Or maybe we could consider her like a Scream princess. Like,
okay,
that's
maybe.
But, I don't know enough about her, so I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, I don't know this person.
Who was she in It Chapter 2? Because, like, she wasn't Beverly.
I think she was the little girl that gets eaten.
Underneath the bleachers?
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Good memory. Yep.
But, yeah. And then, moving forward. So, FX Networks has been dropping release dates for some of their popular shows. An American Horror Story titled Double Feature will premiere on Wednesday, August 25th. Still no premise on that yet. And then American Horror Stories is going to premiere on Thursday, July 15th.
I'm excited. Even though the series and all of that, you know, have its problems and a lot of people don't follow the show that much because they fall off, you know, in the middle of the seasons. Mm-hmm. I'm a big AHS buff, so I'm excited. I can't wait for American Horror Stories and season 10. Yeah, I've been waiting for this. It's been a year, so hopefully they deliver.
Is it really season 10 already?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Wow, I remember when the show first came out.
Right. Same.
Damn. That was like, what, 2011?
2011, yeah. Damn. I'm like blown, like, because the last season was 1984, right?
Yep.
Trash.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Good soundtrack, though. Beautiful gown.
I'm looking forward to this, the American Horror Stories. Just to see how they're going to navigate that premise and that, you know, way of storytelling, that might actually suit them better than an actual 8 to 10 episode series where every episode is self-contained.
Yeah. I was hoping that they, with American Horror Stories, they tie up some of the loose ends or just some of the plot holes that we got in previous seasons. So maybe this is their chance to go back into American Horror Stories and maybe give us like episodes that kind of like fix some of those issues that they had in the actual seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm excited for the cast too. So, you all right?
No, I was going to ask, do we know how many episodes of American Horror Stories there's going to be?
I am not sure of that.
Seven. I know.
How many? Seven?
I think it's seven, yeah. I believe
okay.
Seven. Seven.
All right. I'm looking forward to that.
All right. And then I'm not sure if y'all are fans of the show or the film, but What We Do in the Shadows, season 3, is going to premiere Thursday, September 2nd.
Oh, can't wait. I love that show.
Yes.
I've never seen an episode.
Where have I?
Have you seen the film?
No.
I think it might still be on Prime.
Wait, is Johnny Depp in one of them?
That's Dark Shadows.
Oh, never mind. I tried.
No, Gray, I was with you on that. I was like, wait. I was like, isn't Johnny Depp in the film? I didn't know they had a film. Okay.
I've seen the movie. I don't think I finished it because it was like the joke got old really fast to me. But the TV show was better. In my personal opinion, I think the TV show is much better than a movie.
Yeah. I'm glad, like, it's still going.
Yeah. So. It's, like, a good, at least for us as horror fans, it's a good replacement for the early seasons of The Office because it's still told in that mockumentary style, and they rely a lot on, like, awkward and uncomfortable humor.
Mm-hmm.
So, you guys should get into it. I think you'll like it.
Yes. Yeah,
I'll see if I can do
for this summer.
Hulu? Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Who has it? All right, and then for the last piece of news that I have is about the Toxic Avenger reboot. and Elijah Wood is set to play the villain.
And this is Peter Dinklage is Toxie?
Mm-hmm.
Wait, what? Peter, wait, say that again?
Yeah, you heard me right the first time. He was cast as the Toxic Avenger.
As the human version or like the... as Toxie?
Can it be both? Do you not want it to be both?
Well, because it wasn't both in the earlier film, so I just assumed they were doing that for the reboot. Okay.
All right. I'm excited because I love seeing Elijah Wood as a villain because homeboy can pull it off. So
yeah, I agree. I love Elijah Wood.
So he'll be playing Bob Garbinger. Bob Garbinger. Yeah.
Oh, Garbinger. Okay.
There's something there.
It is.
Oh, that sounds awful. I can't wait to watch it.
Have you seen the original? Have you seen like, well, you just say you did. So you've seen like the original and all that.
I saw all four of the originals.
Have you watched the cartoon? I'm just kidding.
I had it on in the background, but I didn't like sit and, you know, pay attention to it. Have you seen all the original movies?
I don't think I've seen the last one.
Part four, okay.
Yeah. Because I was just like, okay, I'm done. But I love the first one. Absolutely.
Like,
I love me some trauma.
Part four is a really good film. It just didn't feel as, I don't know, it was like, what, a decade after the first three came out. So like the humor and the tone is a little, it doesn't seem to match as easy as the first three did, but it was still enjoyable. Does not age well. None of those movies age well.
Oh, no.
But that's also a part of their charm, I guess.
I'm really curious on how they're going to pull off this remake. Because, yeah. I mean, Toxic Avenger, like, there's some stuff in there that's going to upset people.
Yeah.
Especially with the one scene with, like, the... It's not funny. I don't know why I'm laughing. But, like...
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, but, like...
I don't know what you're talking about, and I'm still laughing.
It's like the group of, like, snobby, rude characters, and they decide to... Mm-hmm.
Oh,
get their shit together and run over. Yeah.
No. They probably would leave that out. They would have to.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll make it a sweet old lady instead.
That makes it even better. Oh, no. We'll see about that. I'm just curious because I'm like, if it's gonna be like the original, they're going to have to cut a lot of stuff.
Yeah. I really hope they lean into like the campiness and the humor of the first film, because the worst thing they can do is try to take this material seriously and give us like a dark, toxic Avenger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, that's not
trauma movies. They shouldn't ever try that.
Yeah. Well,
that's all for horror news.
All right, so we got new Toxic coming out. All right, I'm going to mark this on my calendar. And you know what? That is a movie I would pay to see in theaters instead of watching at home.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking forward to it. What's everybody been watching lately? Bobby?
Oh.
Now you know how it feels.
I'm surprised. but I recently watched The Conjuring. I have a review out for that. Well, Conjuring 3, which comes out tomorrow. Well, by the time this episode comes out, I'm sure everybody probably done seen it. If not, it'll be out on HBO Max. And I watched that, but I'm not going to say much because I want everybody to obviously watch it and, you know, give their own opinions.
I really want to see your video, but I'm like, I don't want any spoilers.
Well, it's spoiler free, so I didn't say shit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it is
spoiler free. Really?
I kept it cute. Because I knew the movie wasn't out, so spoiler free. I didn't put it on the thumbnail, but I put it in the title.
Okay, that's my fault, because I didn't watch it yet because of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry, y'all. But no, I didn't say shit. I just gave, like, my thoughts and just, like, little stuff that's not spoiling anything, really. So, yeah.
So, for that film, like, did you do any, like, research on the case that the film is based on?
Yeah, I did. Because I'm into that shit. Like, especially if they're going to base something off a true story or whatever. Like,
right.
Go back and see what was true and what they're going to exaggerate. And coming off this film, I easily separated what was fake and what was real. Because in the real case, it was a specific thing that was not obviously in the movie. So I'm like, all right, cool. But the movie was a good time. In my opinion, I like the first two better, but that's just my opinion. My best friend said that because she went to go see a screening of it in the theaters yesterday, actually, which was cool. And she said that she liked this one better than the other two. So I'm really curious. Some people are divided.
Dun, dun, dun.
All I'm going to say is, yeah, like, all I'm going to say is really is, like, I said this in my review, you can tell that James Wan is missing. And that's it. Like, you can just tell, like, the certain tricks that he gave us and, like, just how he films in general. You can just tell that he was absent from this movie. And the director obviously directed The Curse of La Llorona. So I was giving him the benefit of the doubt. And I don't care for that film at all. Like, I had huge problems with that one. So with this one, I said, all right, James Wan, let's trust him enough to make him do a Conjuring movie. And you know what? Like, it was okay, but... It was no James Wan. That's all I'm gonna say. I'm gonna leave it there.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was watching that, and I just been watching a lot of throwback old stuff, some old Real Worlds. I've been watching the new Rugrats, actually.
Sorry. Don't laugh at me.
My shit. Okay. And it's cute, you know what? The new Rugrats. It's like, now that I watch it as, like, I'm watching this as an adult because the new animation and stuff like that, because that was my favorite show as a kid. And I like spending time with the adults more in this version, obviously, because I'm an adult, but, like, the adults are actually fun in this one, and I don't care about the babies. Like, I want to spend with Stu and Dee and Grandpa and all of them, so... And Betty, she's a lesbian, which she always been, but they make it more prominent in this version here. Like, she actually says she has a girlfriend. Which is pretty dope. And I just like just being a part of that aspect of the show, but yeah, don't judge me, y'all.
No judgment at all.
No, I completely understand. I just found out about the show today. Like, it came up on my Apple TV.
It's so cute. And then, like, they incorporate into, like, to this generation, so they got, like, phones, and they're talking about social media, and a lot of the original cast returned, so that was just, like, a great nostalgic feeling to watch it and just hear those, like, old voices again.
Is Cree Summer? Yeah, is she on the new one?
Yeah, she voices Susie, obviously, and it's really good. Yeah. Well, some people might not know that, so go for people that don't know Cree Summer, she voices Susie, and they actually make Susie is more visible in the show more than the original. Like, Susie would pop up every now and then in the OG cartoon, but in this one, she's actually with them all the time, which is pretty dope, too.
Good,
nice. About time.
I'm sorry that I took it to cartoon, though, but that's what I've been watching. Y'all got the honest truth.
Well, like, in what season of The Real World were you watching?
Oh. I stopped watching The Real World. I forgot what season, but it was super long time ago. But I watched one of the recent ones that came out, like, in 2016, where they bought, like their rivals and, like, ex-girlfriends and, like...
Oh, yeah.
And I'm watching... Yeah, and I was like, because I haven't seen The Real World in years, and I said, I wonder how they're doing, I guess, now. And I stopped watching it after a while because I just grew bored. And I was like, this is the same shit. Like, it's nothing new. It's just, mm-hmm. you got these people arguing over and over. I was just over it. So I just stick with the...
With the OGs.
Yeah, the OGs.
I mean, the Real World was good up to, like, I want to say maybe like 2013, maybe. I think that's the last decent season they had, but...
I think I stopped watching, like, literally, I think I stopped watching after Denver, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I stopped watching after, and then after that, I just don't know what else. And I seen, like, parts of Brooklyn a little bit, and I didn't watch that in full, but I knew that season was interesting as well.
I never even knew they went back to New York.
Oh, they went back a few times.
Mm-hmm. Right. Oh. You got the first one, then you got back to New York with Coral and them, and then you got Brooklyn. It's just there mm-hmm. a few times.
Brooklyn was the first season I watched fully.
Really? Brooklyn was good. I thought. I watched, like, that was the last season I watched and enjoyed, and then after that was Cancun.
Oh, watched, Cancun.
Yeah, and I like Cancun, but I remember thinking, you are way too old to be watching this shit, Devin. Watch the news or something.
Never.
So I said, this isn't for me. So I think I turned on like PBS or something like that. It was too much.
You know, but like watching the shit now, you just see like people problems and stuff. You just like, oh my gosh, like why? Like why? Mm-hmm. But I go back to the originals I like because obviously like it's nostalgic for me and they were a trip back then. Like one of my favorites is Las Vegas. I watched that a few months ago.
The first Las Vegas with like Arissa.
Oh, yes. And... Yeah. Arissa, Trishelle, Ireland and them. That was the season. I remember when that premiered, I was hooked.
Me too. I remember making an audition tape. And it would have been around that season, like I would like when I would have been cast, if I would have been cast. But I watched the tape back and I said, no, you gotta work on your appearance before you go on MTV, Devin. So,
Dad, I want to be on there.
I would have loved to have seen you on there. Like the whole time, like you probably would have been on the Real World. And I've been chatting with you the whole time, Kill the Day. And I didn't know that you was on the season of. I found that out on the bench. And I was like, yo, why are you keeping this secret, bro?
I would have been a hot mess. I would have either been like asked to leave the house after the first episode or like, why is he cast on this show? He's boring. So it would have been like one or the other for me.
A producer pull you into the diary room. Yeah, we got too many complaints. You got to go.
You
got
to go.
It's either that or they'll make you go and force you to do something. Like, yo, go kiss that boy over there in the club in the corner. Or go through this. Mm-hmm. Start a fight with her.
Which I would do. I just wouldn't do it as well as they would have wanted me to. The last Real World I just thought about that I saw was the most recent one in Atlanta. That bullshit they had premiered on Facebook a year ago.
Oh, gosh, yes. Oh, wow.
That was awful. And I watched that show. One of the cast members was a black bisexual Trump supporter. And I said, this is artificial. This is artificial. I'm not doing this.
Yeah, it has to be. This is not real life.
Yeah. This is not going down. Thank you for taking me down the Real World rabbit hole.
You're so welcome.
Gray, what you been watching?
Tarantino films? Is that okay?
Oh.
I know that was 2021.
You had your feet out?
Well, you know, the weather's nice and it's kind of, you know, hang your foot out the window and run into a car. Oh. I definitively decided this week that Death Proof is one of my all-time favorite films.
Yes!
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 Guys,
people,
can I make a request? If y'all ever decide to do an episode in it, could I please come on that episode?
Because we should.
Yes,
so much.
Yes,
I don't do this, but I can't think of anybody to talk about this film more than like with like I have to talk about it with y'all. because I don't know too many people that love this film. So it has to be y'all.
Yeah, everybody defers to Planet Terror. Instead, I don't really know Death Proof is the better one.
Yeah.
I think I told y'all this before. I want to do that dance scene so bad. I want to be Butterfly.
I remember you said that on Twitter or something, and I'm with you. I'm there. I'll be cheering you on.
Yes. Let me get my coochie cutter shorts out.
I'll let you borrow mine.
Okay, hey.
But that movie is real good. I love it so much. And then the director's cut is even better because of the dialogue between the girls, especially in the second act. You just get the feel of them more and get used to them even more, which I love. So yeah, that film is, I guess, underrated because I don't hear people talk about it too much.
No. And I'm very upset that I lived in Austin for so long and never appreciated this film. Not a good Austinite.
What is, like, do you have a favorite part in the movie, Gray?
The first group of girls' death scene.
Brutal.
Like, I love that they gave attention to each death. It wasn't just like, bam, car accident and aftermath. Right. It was like, nope, we're going to watch how she died, how she got it in the backseat with the tire, where this leg went, cautionary tale. I love it.
I haven't done that shit since I saw the movie for the first time.
Yeah, same here. It worked, Quentin. But I just underappreciated it for so long, and I don't have a good reason why.
So good. At all. I wish I had the experience of seeing both films in theaters.
Same.
Especially Death Proof.
Yeah.
They need to re-release them in theaters. I'll definitely pay $20 for that.
Ooh, I have seen it twice as a double feature.
Really?
Once in Richmond, Virginia, and then again at the Alamo Draft House in Austin, Texas.
I'm jelly.
Me too.
I guess I should have known then that I actually liked one of those two films because that's a long sit time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Plus, you had the trailers in between, right?
Yeah.
Should they?
I forget now. There's a director. Maybe it's Zack Snyder did one of the trailers. I just realized a director I like did one of the trailers. And I was like, he was in this? But now I can't remember, so I guess I don't like him that much. But astonished, to say the least.
Shit, now I feel like watching Death Proof again. I think we need to have a, a watch.
We'll watch along on Clubhouse?
Yeah. Yes. It's streaming everywhere now, so.
It is.
Oh, really? Cool.
Mm-hmm. Prime, Tubi. Yep, Prime and Tubi, for sure.
Okay.
All right. Done deal. We'll make that happen.
Miss Ash,
what have you been watching?
What have I been watching? All right. So I've been, I watched From Dusk Till Dawn like 3 times back to back, like in the same week.
Can I ask why? I'm not judging.
Because of Pluto. Pluto TV. And then like, I have to watch something before I go to sleep. And then, like, every time I'm getting ready to go to sleep, it's coming on. I'm like, hey, yeah. Don't mind if I do. Okay, Selma Hayek, I see you, girl. But I live for that. I live for her scene. Ugh, love her. So I've been watching that. I've been trying to catch up with some of the Shudder releases that have been happening. I watched Fried Berry. I it's been like a minute since I've watched the film and I don't know how I feel about it. I don't know if I want to go back and watch it again, but I feel like I have to.
Sure.
And then I finally watched Psycho Goreman. And
I've not seen that yet.
It's so much fun. Or go ahead,
it is. Sorry. It's so much fun. I love the film, but that little girl annoyed the crap out of me.
I hate
her. I almost turned off the movie because of her.
I can't stand her. I remember I posted something on my Instagram and Kat said something from Girl That's Curious that she liked the movie. And I was like, I do too, except for that little girl. She was like, I understand.
Yeah, I put it on Twitter and I was like, I absolutely love the film except for one character. And I didn't want to say anything because like I tag like the movies page and like sometimes when that happens, the actors like comment back, retweet all that stuff. So I didn't want her to be like, oh. But like by the way I worded it, a lot of like my followers are like, I know who you're talking about. Yep.
Yeah.
I agree. But it's like, such a good, fun movie. It's creative, but just like one and a half characters just about ruined the whole thing for me. And it's the girl and the mom.
Now the mom I enjoyed just a little bit.
I'd rather watch her than the daughter, but some scenes I was just like, oh my god. But and that's like one of my issues when it comes to like child actors, especially like in horror films. Like you have some like they kill the role, like they're absolutely perfect, they're not annoying, and then you get like that one annoying child actor that just ruins everything for you. And it's like with this character, she was just it was like every line that she said, it was just like too much,
very obnoxious. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
she was mean for no reason too, and her parents just let her get away with everything.
Right, like you're the little sibling. Why are you talking to your brother like that? Like, why do you have so much hate towards him and your mom? Like, it was too much.
It reminded me of like a R-rated Power Rangers if you spent some time with the villains little bit. You know what I mean?
I definitely got that feeling. I was like, ooh. I hope we could get a sequel because I'll be so down for that.
Mm-hmm.
Just not, like, don't have her come back. But
you know they're going to bring her ass back.
Watch. I know. but like that little song she did with the group, I was like, that's kind of cute. It was kind of catchy. But I could not stand her. But yeah, that's what I've been watching.
Is she in most of the film or does she get killed?
Yes. No, she's in all of it.
Right, she's like the main.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Like just so obnoxious for no reason. Like, like you know how like sometimes kids like to act grown, like just how they deliver lines and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly her.
Mm.
I'm like, girl, if you don't sit down.
And if that's how they wanted her to be, then they did a great they did job. It.
Yeah. Lord,
because I was sitting there like, if this girl don't shut up,
I'm gonna take a pass on that one. I cannot stand obnoxious kids.
I know. I mean, the film is great, but it's just
I feel like you guys
pop an edible in.
Yeah. Ooh, if you pop an edible in during that movie.
Ooh, and fried berry. Ooh.
Definitely during fried berry. I can attest to fried berry.
Oh gosh.
Stay in school, kids. Don't do drugs. Oh, for me, I don't know, it's kind of boring. I've watched the first two Conjuring films to prepare for tomorrow for Conjuring 3. I don't know which one I like more between Conjuring 1 and this and Conjuring 2. I think they're both great films.
I think I might have to go with the first one. I like the first one a little better.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll say you know what? I go back and forth. Because sometimes I like the second one better because the whole nun situation and how they revealed her kind of got me out of here a little bit. Mm-hmm. But nothing like beats the first time I watched the first Conjuring and how many times I actually jumped and got fucking scared and like, yeah, that movie did a lot for me. So I'm gonna say the first one. but tomorrow I might see the second one. So
I'm gonna go with the first one. I've never been scared of a tree before in my life.
Right. That is true. They make this tree a little terrifying.
Yeah.
I think you can stay in the house for a night now. I think they're renting it out so you can get like the Conjuring experience. I gotta look it up.
Which one of y'all gonna hold my hand?
Tonight they're doing a special like a walkthrough of the original, well, the where the first movie where the actual house is. They actually, the people that own that house right now, they're actually doing like a little tour live.
Right. To
I think that's happening tonight, if not right now.
Cool. We may have to postpone this show, y'all.
y'all do that. I got y'all.
Bobby was in The Conjuring 3 was Patrick Bateman wearing, or not Patrick Bateman, Patrick Wilson wearing those tight pants again.
This one is in the 80s and he spent most of his time I was about to give something away. He does have tight pants, I will say that. But it's in the 80s, so things changed just a little bit in this version.
Is he still faithful to his wife in this movie? Because, you know.
Oh, yes. I mean, he's even more loyal to her in this one than the other. So.
Good. I'm glad.
You start asking questions before you, like, make me, like, spill something out.
That's what he's trying to do.
I have diarrhea mouth when people keep asking me stuff and I might make a mistake and say something and I'm like, fuck.
I just want to know if Patrick Wilson is wearing his tight pants again. That's all.
I'm going to just say that's all.
Well, I guess that brings us to today's feature. So for our first episode during Pride Month, we're going to discuss the 1986 psychological thriller, action thriller, horror movie, I don't know, The Hitcher, starring C. Thomas Howell and Rutger Hauer. C. Thomas Howell and Rutger Hauer. Those names are too similar. What category do you guys put this in? Thriller, horror, road trip?
Road, thriller, horror.
I would say action.
You know what? Now that you say it. Yeah, like action horror.
Yeah. Are you about to tell us what it was really billed as?
Well, so it was written as a horror movie, and the original script was a lot more graphic and more violent than what we got. The producers were nervous about making a slasher movie, so a lot of cuts and a lot of trims and compromises were made. They also wanted to make a movie that was a little bit more, I think the term we use now is elevated horror. And I think that was the angle they were going for. But, I think they pulled it off to varying degrees of success. But the plot to The Hitcher, per IMDb, it's about a young man transporting a car from Chicago to San Diego. And he's stalked along the road by a cunning and relentless serial killer played by Rutger Hauer, who eventually frames the driver for a string of murders. Chased by police and shadowed by the killer, the driver's only help comes from the truck stop waitress.
And my husband number two is in this film.
Who, Rucker Howard?
No, C. Thomas Howell.
Oh, what?
Mm. I say Rucker Howard.
I mean, he's fine too, but C. Thomas Howell, ever since I laid my eyes on him in The Outsiders.
Oh. Okay.
Mm. He's gorgeous. I just can't get Soul Man out of my head.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. And he's so nice in person because he was at a convention like 2-3 years ago and almost passed out meeting him, but yes.
Well, I gotta find some modern day pictures of him because maybe I'll not see
black people. I'll send you a picture.
Yeah, he's still very much attractive.
Oh, okay. I see him on IMDb. I don't know how old this picture is, but all right. Damn. All right. What did you guys think of this movie overall?
for me, it was my first time seeing this movie since I was a child. So it really took me back to, Devin, I talked to you briefly earlier, like my childhood of like sneaking to watch this on HBO or Cinemax whenever I eventually came to cable and trying not to get caught. So like there was a heightened element of me watching this movie unfold, not just for Rutger Howard I knew of at that time. C. Thomas Howell, I did not. Jennifer Jason Leigh, I did not. But my mother was a Rutger Howard fan. So I was like, and debating in the back of my mind, well, if she catches me, it's her fault. Like, you know how you reason with yourself when you're a kid? It's like, no. It's, she did this. I didn't want to watch Blade Runner. She made me watch Blade Runner.
Oh, he is in Blade Runner. Mm-hmm. I've never seen that before. Okay.
That's my earliest memory of him. RIP.
I know.
But no, I thought it was a great movie. Like, I don't know what my preteen brain thought about this movie in real time back then, other than getting to see a rated R movie. But what this film is doing, Michael Bay did not match at all. Not one bit.
Right. Well, I think that speaks because this film has a lot of nuances, it has character development, it has an arc, and then Michael Bay films are more for a visceral effect to be, you know, to show explosions and, I don't know, body parts flinging about and scantily clad women.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know why they chose his production company to do the remake. I haven't even seen the remake all the way through. Was Sophia Bush, like, how clothed was she in the movie?
I mean, tank top, mini skirt, or shorts. Yeah, so, like, her character of Brooke from One Tree Hill, yeah. Like, what she will wear, she wore in the movie.
The type of outfit one would wear when they're being chased by a serial killer on the road. Got it.
I'm done. Don't talk about my girl like that.
No, I'm not talking about her. I'm talking about the Michael Bay Productions company, Platinum Dunes.
I know.
What'd you think, Ash?
Of the OG? So I first watched this film probably like back in high school. And I remember because I think I've talked about this before. Like, I forgot what channel, but they used to do like top 50 scariest moments in films. And a scene from The Hitcher was on there, and it was with when Jim's character is eating the French fries, and he's picking one up, and he realizes it's a finger. Mm-hmm. And so I was just like, "Ooh, this look good." So I was like, "I need to watch this film," and I finally did. And I remember liking it a lot. And in the back of my mind, I'm like, "I'm cool on going to the desert. I know better not to pick up a stranger." But I just thought this film was really great, and it made me second guess on some things. Like, just I know better than that. Like, there are some choices made in this film that, you know, a person would never make, but here we are.
Bobby, what did you think?
I liked it. It was my first time watching it a few days ago, so I didn't get myself into, but kind of sort of, because again, I've seen the remake, but I didn't know how similar, you know, these two films was going to be. But when I watched it overall, I enjoyed it a lot. I was just like, yo, Rutger Hauer, like, he's scary in this movie. Like a serial killer should be. So that was amazing. I had a little bit of problems with it, obviously, with some of the decision making that Jim was making. But overall, I had a lot of fun. It was like nonstop. It's like once things got started, it was just like action just all the way through. And it was very suspenseful too, because you didn't know what Rutger Hauer, his character John, was going to do next. Like, he just kept taunting this character. he keeps taunting Jim. He's just like, yo, why don't he leave him alone? But I guess we'll get more into it, but it kept my interest all the way through, and I enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah, I saw this movie for the first time maybe 5 years ago, I think. I remember as a kid, and maybe I saw it as a kid and just don't remember, but I used to get it confused with an HBO series called Hitchhiker. And I think they came out around the same time. And Hitchhiker was like it was a horror anthology series. And it was about this hitchhiker guy who always, you know, whenever he gets picked up by a stranger, he tells them this story of horror. And he was wearing a leather jacket, just like Jim is in this movie, in The Hitcher. So I thought the two were like correlated, but they're not. Just being on a little tangent. But in the 5 years I've been fully aware of this movie, I've always enjoyed it. And so much so that I didn't really engage in the sequel or even the remake so much, because I felt that this film is, it's not a perfect film, but for its intended purpose, it's nearly perfect. And also, you know, I just moved to California a year ago, and we drove from the East Coast all the way out here, and just watching this movie, I hate road trips. And so just watching this movie, it kind of like made me remember a lot of those memories of us on this 4-day journey to get here. But I really enjoyed the movie. I like a lot of the nuances and the subtext that's in a film. It's a tight film. There's, you know, only a handful of characters. There's not a lot of different sets and plot changes that happen. It's a very specific beginning, middle, and end. Mm-hmm. And it's less than 100 minutes, which is, you know, perfect in my book.
Devin guarantee.
Yes. So the reason why I chose this movie is because it's not an explicitly gay film, but there is a lot of queer coding. There's a lot of homoerotic subtext. And especially given when this film came out in 1986, we're at the height of the AIDS epidemic. We see this trend in horror movies where they're telling stories that can be perceived as a gay story, but it's not explicitly stated as a gay story. So this film was falling in the same category as, say, Nightmare on Elm Street Part 2, or, oh my gosh, I'm blanking on the other one, Fright Night, which all these films came out around the same time. When I told my partner that we were going to discuss this movie for Pride Month, he's like, why? So he didn't get the queer subtext. Do you guys get this queer subtext, or am I reading too much into the movie?
Go ahead.
Well, we all going.
1, 2, 3. I didn't, my first time watching the film, I never noticed any of it. It didn't dawn on me until like later on, and like especially now, how people are like, oh, in this scene, like, didn't you notice like this, that? And I'm like, huh? Like, it just really didn't click to me until now. And I did a little research. So I'm like, okay, so maybe I missed something. And then when I watched it last night and then again today, and I was like, oh, I was like, okay, that makes sense. I can see it now. Especially like with some of like the actions that, John Ryder did towards Jim. Huh?
No, I was just saying his character's name, John. Oh, sorry.
I was like, what? But what John Ryder's character does towards Jim, I'm like, why is he putting the knife down there? Why did he grab his thigh like that? Like, why is he so pressed on chasing after this character? So,
right.
Yeah, I was able to notice some stuff.
I agreed. For me, I say the same thing that you said, Ash, with the whole knife situation, but also just through the course throughout the film. Like, I felt like John was a psycho ex-boyfriend going after this character. Yes. He would just not leave him alone. I'm just like, what did he do for you to keep doing this and keep taunting him and keep, like, just making him suffer and so many ways? And he just gave me that vibe. I'm just like, is this like an ex-boyfriend that he, like, that, you know, what's his name, forgot about, that Jim forgot about? Like, what is going on? Why is he really doing this? But I had to think, like, this is what serial killers do. It's like, once that one person get away, they're gonna be hooked on that person until they eventually get them. So I had to go back into that. But the vibes that John was giving me was clearly psycho ex-boyfriend.
You were supposed to love me.
For you to go to the, like, go through the extremes to go after this kid, it makes no sense. Like, you should have just left him alone once you just got, like, you dropped out of the car. But he's cuckoo bananas, so.
Oh, yeah. I'm so glad you said that. Sorry. Cuckoo bananas, yes. Okay.
Oh, gosh. What is that from? Is that from a
Degrassi,
TV show?
Manny, yes. Manny Santos, Manuela Santos.
Well, I should know that. Why didn't I know that? That went over my head.
Okay. Yeah. My girl.
Yeah, I think, you know, I look at the John Ryder character, and John Ryder, that sounds like a gay porno name to me. But
riding on that river.
Like, I feel like he's going to be on Sean Cody next week. But John
Ryder's not Sean Cody.
He's obsessed with Jim, the C. Thomas Howell character, to the point, like, he the way he looks at him, the glances are very flirtatious. Mm-hmm. He always holds his gaze. The point that you guys just mentioned, where they're at a police checkpoint, and the trooper is, you know, trying to intervene, and John Ryder puts the knife up to Jim's crotch and kind of caresses his thigh. Like, it's easy to sort of like just kind of brush past all this stuff, but for 1986, those were very deliberate actions in a major Hollywood movie. I think that the queer coding is very deliberate. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was gonna say that was the first thing that I recognized in this film this time around, is that scene specifically is the only thing I guess I can add to from what you guys said before. I agree. Is that even, or I'm sorry, Devin, the perspective you put on it for 1986 at the height of AIDS pandemonium, for that cop to call them sweethearts and like be okay with it. Mm-hmm. He didn't like, you know, it wasn't like, you know, he didn't mess with them.
And they went with it too.
On the verge of what's that?
And they went with it too. They weren't defensive about it.
Yeah.
Well, John wasn't, because Jim couldn't say shit. His dick was about to get cut off. So, I mean.
Yeah. The first time I saw this movie, I said, oh, this shit is super gay. But again, I thought it was just me projecting or looking too hard into it. And then I just did a little bit of research, and no other people said this was gay. So I knew that I wasn't going crazy. Even last night when my partner thought I was like reading too much into it. Like, no, this is really, really gay. Rutger Hauer is I fucking see Thomas Howell throughout the entire film. Mm-hmm. And he's playing a cat and mouse game with him, because even when C. Thomas Howell is alone or vulnerable or something like that, and Jim Ryder shows up, he doesn't hurt him. He doesn't kill him. He basically just says, hey, I'm here. If you want to escape, try to run past me. And he sets it up so that C. Thomas Howell does get away for a little bit, just a little bit, but he can still get caught. He can still catch him. So Rutger Hauer is in love with the chase as well. I think for this time of this era and this type of film, the Hitcher is a lot more gay, and I think should be spoken about as a gay film, even more so than The Nightmare on Elm Street Part 2.
I agree.
Because it's almost just clear as day to me.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you, Dev. Like, again, this is my first watch, and even if we wasn't watching this for like Pride Month, if we were just doing this just randomly, like, I would have caught those instantly, just because it's there, it's like right in your face, like you said, all the eye fucking, and then the whole blade near the, you know, the groin area, and just like just the constant, you know, John Ryder being on this dude constantly, nonstop, like, this is a bit much. Only somebody that really is feeling hurt would do this. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I would have totally got like queer vibes from it. Well, I did totally got queer vibes from it, but if he wasn't doing this for Pride Month all the way, even without...
Sorry to grab my notes.
You know, even now knowing what I've learned over the years about, I guess, French cinema and knives being, you know, synonymous with being a prick and or a phallic symbol and things, as I can't recall the movie we did last year.
Knife Plus Heart.
God damn it. It's so obvious. I should just, yeah.
Knives. Yeah, I was just thinking about that scene, too. The like the beginning scene. Wasn't the beginning? Yeah.
Yeah. And I was just like, oh, this is not something new to cinema. Of course it's not.
Yeah. I you know, and there's also a part of me that's looking at this film too. Like, you know, there's also the double-sided coin is, am I forcing a gay narrative in this film? Because especially in American films, like you just, to your point, Greg, we don't see men, I guess, embracing each other or having anything outside of a combative relationship with one another. Mm. And the relationship between John Ryder and Jim Halsey was, I mean, it was very sexual in its own way. But instead of fucking, their outlet was murder and hiding each other's bullets. And do you guys remember the scene towards the end where C. Thomas Howell, it looked like John Ryder was going in for a kiss. And then C. Thomas Howell actually spit in his face.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then and then John Ryder like massage, kind of caressed the spit and kind of massaged it. Y'all.
I'm glad you brought that up because I was going to bring that up myself, but mm-hmm. I would have done the same thing. I'm just kidding. Let me stop. Like, yes. Yes.
I'm glad you said that, and I don't know if I'm jumping ahead. I'm sorry. But, like,
no, go for it.
I thought a similar thing when they have the gun under the table showdown, mm-hmm. where he thinks the gun is loaded, and he's ready to do it, and Rutger Howard puts his fake gun finger underneath the table as, like, I took that as another phallic thing of, like, he's hard and ready to go, and, you know, maybe... Maybe Jim thinks he is, but he's not really sure. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, I like that interchange as an adult now, but I don't know what I thought as a 10, 11-year-old, however old I was. I was just probably like, why has he got a finger under the table?
Yeah, there are definitely some phallic symbols. Yeah. You know, and now I'm going to sort of contradict myself, because as much as of a gay film this is, this can also be viewed as a gay panic film. Again, we got to place ourselves in 1986 at the heights of the AIDS pandemic, where it was also looked at as a moral issue towards with certain communities. So if we're looking at these characters of Jim and John as if they're a pseudo gay couple, at the end of the day, Jim still runs to Jennifer Jason Leigh, and mm-hmm. she's the and she's used as sort of the, I don't know, the carrot hanging on the stick to lure Jim out of the hotel. And that kind of harkens back to Nightmare on Elm Street Part 2, yes. where that's also considered a gay film, but he's mm-hmm. the gay boy is ultimately saved by heterosexuality. I don't know if the Hitcher leans into that as much, but there is still an element that there has to be a woman at the center of this relationship. What did you guys think of the Nash character, and why was her name at Nash?
Right. Because it's probably in actuality, it was supposed to be a man, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
She was supposed to be a man. Yeah. But I don't know. Like, I liked her character, but she did get on my nerves when they got off that bus, mm-hmm. and she just insert herself into the equation. And I understand she's doing this for somebody. Well, I don't understand actually that she's doing this for somebody that she barely knew. And yeah, but overall, like what you just said about her character being similar to what's her name from Nightmare on Street Part 2?
Meryl Streep.
Lisa.
Not Meryl Streep. Right? Well, yeah, her. Like, I can see that. I can definitely see that. Definitely. But, I mean, overall, like, her character, okay, like, I didn't expect what was going to happen to her, but, you know, what John did to her, but overall, like, yeah, she was okay. She just got on my nerves with that whole gun situation.
Mm-hmm. I dropped the gun. You did what?
Yeah, I think that's another thing that you just pointed out, Bobby. I didn't really understand why she gravitated towards Jim so much. I don't know. As far as she knew, he actually was in trouble.
Probably was because, like, I mean, they're in what part? I forgot what part of Texas, but like, they're mainly in the desert. She was like the only young adult in that whole town. There was no cute guys coming through. So when she sees Jim, she's all like, oh. Like, she's like, well, time for me to shoot my shot. I'll make him a cheeseburger.
The set of fingers. Yeah, that. I love this movie, you guys. I gotta ask this. Okay, so this, we're getting towards the end. So I wanna ask. The climactic scene, spoiler alert for everybody, if you haven't seen this 40-year-old film, this climax of the end of the film is where Jennifer Jason Leigh is literally ripped apart after being tied to two trucks. Which is so messed up and so tragic, and it's almost what made this film not get financing. But what was more heartbreaking, her death scene in this one or Zachary Dyton's death scene in the remake?
Ooh, I mean, the remake was more graphic, which I appreciated. Yeah. I liked it. But like in the OG, like just seeing Jim's facial expression when it happened, it gutted me because I was like, oh, damn. Like you just couldn't help but to feel it.
Yeah, and sometimes that's more effective than actually showing what happened, because they cut away, obviously, but that still affected me. Like, you knew that her ass got ripped apart.
Yeah.
That still affected me. But the remake, I still have to get it to that one.
I mean, yeah, I'm like, I'm stuck between the two of them, but I'll have to go with the OG, because just based off of Jim's facial expression, because that would have been me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I felt like I could have been him witnessing that. Like, that would be my exact reaction.
Okay.
I need to watch the remake again. It's been a while.
I want to see that scene again. Okay, so for our final thoughts, what would you rate this movie on its own merit? And then how gay would you rate this film on a scale of, say, out of 4 stars? Give the movie a 4, you know, out of 4 stars, what do you think? And then another 4 stars scale of how gay is this film? Let's start with
Nose Goes. Dang.
You say so... Nose Goes.
Everyone turn on your quiet cameras. Hurry up. Okay, so overall for the film, I would rate it, I would give it 3 out of 4 stars. And then on the scale, how gay it is, I would probably do like 2.5.
Okay. I respect that. Great.
I'm going to give it a 3.75.
I don't know. Why you gotta be like that? I'm just kidding.
Fantastic. I would give it a 4. I just don't think it holds up over time, just because so many things have changed as far as road trips go. Queer rating, I give it a 3. Like, it's like, if the writer of this film wasn't deceased, I would love to know his intentions.
Damn. Yeah, I, you know, I haven't researched that if the writer is queer, was queer or anything like that. I am a bad host.
That was me. I'm gonna say if he's not queer, he definitely had queer friends. Mm-hmm. Like, oh. I feel like on second watch, this is definitely intentional.
He wrote Near Dark.
Oh.
I'm trying. So I'm doing a quick little search now.
Okay.
Keep talking, sorry.
Bobby, what would you, how would you rank this?
I rank it a 3. I ranked it a 3 on my Letterboxd when I watched it, out of a 5, but out of a 4, it would still be a 3, just because I really did enjoy it. And then as far as gayness, I'll agree with Ash, like, a 2.5, just because, I mean, yes, it's there in your face, but, like, the whole movie, it doesn't really, like, you know, obviously, it doesn't focus too much on that, and it's kind of hidden, but it's definitely visible, but yeah, I'll just give it a 2.5 for the gayness, I guess.
All right.
What are you, Devin?
As a movie, I give it 3 stars. For queerness, I would give it, I'm gonna be like, great. I'm gonna give it a 2.79.
7.9.
Why the 7.9? Just why not?
Because it's very, it's super gay, but the gayness is very subtextual. It's not something that is overt. I'm used to seeing my queer representation, like, you know, actually out loud and proud. So that's why I can't give it a higher rating. But for all intents and purposes, it's a 2.79.
All right.
Yay.
So I have a question. Because doing like doing research for the film, some blogs have stated that they believe that all of this was in Jim's, it was part of Jim's imagination.
Mm. I read that.
So, you know what's funny? I thought that too at first. I said, well, maybe he's actually the killer and he think that there's another killer doing this when it's actually him. But then when, you know, Nash starts seeing this dude and all this other stuff, I was like, all right, he's real.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that brings us to the conclusion of our movie. But before we go, I have a small little game that I wanted to play, if you guys don't mind indulging me.
Not the game!
please, yes, and thank you.
So, I have 5 questions, and whoever gets all of them right, I will congratulate you. But you have to name... you have to name... Okay, for this question, name the horror couple. And I'm using couple in air quotes, although you guys can't see me right now, okay? And okay, if you know the answer, just say, like, whoever says, like, your own personal name first, that's what I'm going to call on, since we don't have buzzers.
So we have to say our own name.
Yeah. You ready?
Okay. Wait, I'm going to get the what? Say one more time?
So, because we don't have buzzers, just say your name.
Okay.
So, if you just say, you know. All right. All right, so the first question is...
What?
Nancy and Fred.
What?
I was just trying to beat everyone to the buzzer.
You said Nancy and Freddie?
They were a couple.
You know what, you're right. I meant gay couple. I guess I should have put that word in.
Oh,
gay
couple.
My bad.
My bad.
I'm sorry. I'll play by the rules.
So this is all, like, queer. All right. So this duo arranged a massacre of their classmates and friends in hopes of getting famous. Shit.
Gray.
Gray. Oh my
God. It's the, Ryan loves this movie.
Sorry.
The Tragedy Girls.
That's not what I was thinking. But that actually fits. So I'll.
Oh, that wasn't it?
That wasn't it, but I'll give Gray a point for that. I'll give him like a semi, an italic.
So, Ash.
Okay, Ash.
Scream.
Scream is it. Ding, 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 ding. What were their names, though?
Stu and Billy.
You got it. Okay, so Ash gets an actual point and Gray gets like a
asterisk point.
You get a little dash, like the little
yep. Participant trophy.
Are you ready? And I'm purposely trying to not give gender in these questions because I think that'll like make you guys answer super fast. Okay. All right, question number two. This couple become volatile after one of them became a sacrifice for a satanic rock band.
Robert.
You got it, Robert.
That's my real name. That counts, right?
Yeah.
I know it's Jennifer's Body, right? But is it, but what's her name? Needy and Jennifer, obviously.
Yep, you got it.
Yep.
Okay, okay.
Jennifer's Body.
Oh, I love that movie.
Like, put my government out there like that. Wow.
Yeah, I was like.
Okay, this one is super easy. And like, I'm all, okay, whatever. This is really easy. Gosh. Lewis and Lestat live together and raise a young daughter together in this famous.
Yo, Ash. Wait, am I saying like the names or like the movie?
In this case, you're saying the movie.
All right, Interview with a Vampire.
No. Who got that first?
Was that Gray? Okay, Gray, you say it.
What?
I'm gonna ask Bobby.
Hear Gray. I did hear Gray first. But it was kind of faint.
Okay. Ash, so,
point with
Ash. You. So Gray and Ash.
Split our point.
Like, damn, yeah. We just
y'all stay split. Like, y'all point.
Oh, I should have wrote more questions. Okay. 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 She's only gay because nothing's told her she is.
Right.
That's it's not. Wrong Why? Answer, but it's the it's right, but it's the wrong answer.
No.
Okay, I'm going to redo the question because I can't. Okay.
I think I already know. But...
Oh, what is it?
Well, you said until Netflix, but I'm going to let you go. I was going to say the Babadook, but go ahead.
It's the Babadook.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Oh. <It's the Babadook. laughs> I thought as a homosexual, I was going to be really bad at this game because under peer pressure, but I'm getting it. Okay.
And I don't know if the Babadook is male or female, but I just gave her the she moniker because why not? Okay. For our final question, and I think Ash is going to get this. Marie and Alexa are two French students who, while on vacation to study, are interrupted by a murderous intruder in what film?
Ash? Okay. So we have which title you want me to say? So no, yeah, Switchblade no, Sisters are High Tension. Okay. Did you hear me?
Yeah, what would you say the first time, the French version?
Bray said do not help her.
Well, she got it.
I said Switchblade Sisters. That's wrong. Switchblade Romance. Did I get that right?
It's High Tension. Was that like the original title?
There's so many different titles. So it's High Tension, and then in other countries it's Switchblade Romance. And if you want to be all French, Haute Tension or whatever how you say it.
That's the real title.
I don't like that Switchblade Rate Romance. I don't like that.
Fine. I like High Tension.
Yeah.
Me too. That movie scared the shit out of me when I first saw it.
The reveal at the end of that movie messed me up. I didn't see it coming.
Same.
Like it's like a better version of Shutter Island.
Mm.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I remember seeing the ending and thinking I don't like the ending because it felt like it was tacked on, But I do want to rewatch it. But I like everything up until the ending, but I gotta rewatch it again.
Fun fact real quick about how I seen this movie. So I'm excited. So me and my boyfriend was looking to rent, right? And his cousin was actually renting her house out. So we said, all right, we do this temporarily until we find like our own place or whatever. And as we were cleaning, there's this door, like a little small door underneath the stairs. And I opened it because I wanted to know what was in there, obviously. And when I opened it, it was a DVD of High Tension. And I was just So after we cleaned up or whatever, we watched the movie at night, that night, and it shook me and my boyfriend. We were just like, yo. He was like, put it back underneath the stairs.
It was there for a reason.
Right. I was like, well, it's mine now, but.
Finders keepers.
I am so happy they never did an American remake of that movie.
Ooh, please don't speak that into existence. Please don't. Because
watch tomorrow, they're going to announce it on Bloody Disgusting.
Right, and I'm going to be like, you know what? I'm going to write a note. But the way they did Martyrs, and the way they did Inside.
Yeah, it's tough to remake these films, especially when, I mean, no pun intended, but when tension is such a big element in the movie, it's hard to recreate that. For the love of the show. All right, Bobby, tell the folks where they can find you.
Everybody can find me, Bobby Torres with a Z, not an S, on Twitter and Instagram. Also, Bobby Likes to Spook You on my YouTube channel and also on Instagram.
He likes it spooky.
You have to say it like trash from Return of the Living Dead.
I like it.
Right, do the honors.
I was going to say it.
Do it.
I can't do that voice. It's like, I like it spooky. No,
I
did it
so spooky. Oh, I can't say it like
that. I know, I did it so bad. Like, it's not even.
I like it spooky.
Yeah, see, that's better.
It's got to spread the voice out a bit. It's all in the nostrils.
Ash, where can the folks find you?
Yes, you can follow me on Twitter at Ash to Ashes. That's Ash with the X in the middle, Ashes. And I'm preparing for episode 2 of Rise from the Dead podcast. And the next guest is actually on this episode, and it's Gray.
Hey.
Yes. Hey.
I'm shaking my hands. You can't see it.
But yeah, so y'all stay tuned for the next episode.
Can't wait.
And Gray, where can the fine folks find you? That's a tongue twister.
You can find me in the club.
Hey.
You can find me. I gotta start dancing again. You can find me on all social media at Gray himself. That's Grae himself, as well as by the time you're hearing this, if you haven't already heard it, check out my latest episode of Gray Matter, Army of the Dead.
Yeah. I should have closed this out with like a hot guy ranking, but that would have been redundant. All right. I guess you can find me on ineedyoujesse.com and ineedyoujesse on Twitter and Instagram. And here at Kill the Dead.
Kill the Dead podcast.
That felt so dry coming from me. I don't know why I'm. All right, guys. Happy Pride Month. Say goodnight, folks.
Wait. What? Devin.
Gray.
We have 3 Pride t-shirts for sale this month with proceeds going to charity. Would you care to tell people what the charity is?
Excuse me. I'm sorry. I didn't realize the t-shirts came out already. My bad. Yes, the proceeds will be going to the National Queer and Trans Therapist of Color Network. They are advancing healing justice by transforming mental health for queer and trans people of color. And it's a great charity, and whatever we, I don't know, whatever we get in proceeds, or not proceeds, towards a TV shirt or t-shirts, I'm going to match personally.
Oh.
That's awesome.
Well, then I have no choice but to go Big Bang Little Bang with you, sir. And okay. I will match whatever Devin matches.
Yep.
Oh. How about you? No, I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding. I mean, I will.
I'm kidding. I'm so kidding.
I mean, them shirts that gray, I like so. You know, I was like, I'll get one. I mean, I got you one last year, so yeah.
I am shopping right now.
Yeah, I for some reason I thought they were we were gonna release the shirts like Saturday, and that could just be me. I don't know, in my brain. I don't know why I figured that, but yeah, let me go ahead and order one now. Shit.
No, by the time this episode is live, they will be there. There are.
I love that. Yes.
I am getting that.
Me too.
Oh, gosh.
I popped up on my thing and I seen that. I was like, yo.
That's yes. To know
what I'm laughing about, go to tpublic.com/killthedeadpod.com.
And if you're fans of the show, you would definitely get it.
In my cart now. I am living.
This is awesome, Gray. So.